Let's hold them up and say it together. This is the Word of God, and I know that it's true. Ready? This is the Word of God, and I know that it's true. If you remain standing with me, please, and turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. We're still with Peter. It's where we started last week. We're still with Peter. Great story. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus' words. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it is truth and that we can stake our lives on it. Lord, thank you for staking your lives on us, your life on us. And I pray, Lord, that you would just anoint this message as it goes forth. Hide your servant behind the cross. Once again, we just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Simon Peter the Rock. Now, last week we started out by talking about the outline a little bit of this message. Jesus takes Simon, or calls him. Jesus takes Simon. Jesus shakes Simon. Jesus shapes Simon. And Jesus stakes Peter. And stakes him to the Rock of Ages. Jesus called him the Rock. Simon was just an ordinary guy. That's why I like this story about Peter, because he's just an ordinary guy like most of us, some of you are girls, but ordinary person, and Jesus called him for a special task. And I think every task that Jesus hands out is special, but this one kind of stands out because Jesus called him to be the kind of the forefather, the father of the church that as we know it today. But Peter, who was he? Or Simon? He was a fisherman. He was a blue-collar worker. He was busy at his job when he had the encounter with Jesus. Let's review just a little bit. Andrew was the brother of Simon, and he's the one that introduced Simon to Jesus. And then when Jesus met him, he told him he was going to call him Peter, which is, means rock, and he's going to, the text that we read this morning, must have been a little bit of a shock to Simon to meet this Messiah and have the Messiah know things about him and prophesy over him is what he did. Of course, prophecy for Jesus was just knowing the future and telling it, right? And Simon then met Jesus the second time, and he caught all these fish that Jesus told him, cast it out into the deep, throw out your net. We fished all night, but we'll do it anyway. They threw the net, pulled it in, and all these fish. And it was so impressed Simon that they left everything, and they followed Jesus. So he called them, he took them, and then he began to shake them, and to shape him. You know, God, we can see the plan that God had for Simon. We can see the mission that he had for Simon as we look at the scriptures. It's a little harder to see it in our own lives, but the Lord has a plan for each one of us. He has a purpose. He has a mission. He wants to accomplish something or is in the process of accomplishing something in you and through you. And you can guess or you can know that there isn't anything that happens in your life that doesn't have some kind of a purpose where God's agenda is concerned. You look at some of the things that have happened in your life and you go, there's no way that had any purpose for the agenda of Christ in my life. But I would beg to differ that one way or another, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Even the bad things, some of the things that happened to Simon weren't necessarily good things. They were things that shook him to the core. He began to follow Jesus, and then there was the miracles that Jesus performed. He saw Jesus at work. He saw him feed 5,000 people out of just a couple of fish and some few loaves. And again, Jesus multiplying the fish. Well, that kind of set the stage for what was going to happen next. Jesus sent them across the sea. Storm came. Jesus came walking on the water. This is all from last week. Jesus came walking on the water, and here's Jesus walking on the water, and Peter decided he wanted to step out. So Peter, in a burst of faith, stepped out of the boat, and he began to walk on water, and he began to sink, and Jesus saved him and chastised him for having little faith. Now, he's learning some lessons here. He's learning that it takes more than a burst of faith to do mighty things for God. You've got to have a steady faith. He needed to keep his eyes on Jesus instead of look at the circumstances and situation, the storm around him. His faith began to crumble. Now, Jesus was working on Simon's faith. He was molding him and shaping him, he was succeeding in making him into what he wanted him to be, a rock star for Jesus. Now, Peter then confesses Jesus as the Christ. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And verse 17 says, "And Jesus answered and he said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.'" Right answer. Absolutely the right answer. And we just talked about who Simon was. Simon came fresh off the boat. I doubt if he had all the fish out from under his fingernails yet. You know how it is. I doubt if he was even looked like a disciple. He still probably looked more like a fisherman than a disciple. What does a disciple look like anyway? But Simon Peter, the fisherman, articulated the greatest theological statement in history. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." There's a lot of people had a lot of theories at who he was, but this was the right answer. Bedrock theology for all time. But Jesus answered and he said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon by Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Jesus was in the process of teaching him that there are two tracks of thought. There's the flesh and there's the spirit. And he was telling him, you got it right, but it wasn't because you figured it out with your brain. It was because you listened to God, because you listened to the Holy Spirit. You heard that, and it was illuminated inside of you. And you see, if Peter was going to be the rock, if he was going to be the bedrock of the church, he had to understand that he needed to listen to the Spirit. He needed to be motivated. He needed to be moved. He needed to be led by the Spirit in order to be what Jesus needed for him to be. And so, even though he gave the right answer, Jesus made a lesson out of it and said, "It wasn't you, it was God, and you heard him." So that's a good thing. Even though Peter was well on his way to being the rock star we talked about that Jesus was making him into, he had more lessons to learn. Verse 21 and through 23, 16. "From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must," notice the word "must," "that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day." Peter was just starting to get the Messiah thing. He just got the Messiah thing. But you can tell by his reaction, he didn't get the Lamb of God thing. That's what he said. Then Peter took him aside, verse 22, and he began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." Who was Peter listening to? Well, Jesus was about to tell him that he wasn't listening to the Spirit. He wasn't thinking of spiritual things. He was running or on the track of the flesh. He was listening to the flesh rather than the Spirit. And this is what Jesus said to him. Now remember, this is Peter who just said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Peter says this, and then Jesus turns to him in verse 23, and he says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of things of God, but things of men." Whoa. Peter just made the bedrock theological statement, and then turns around and gets rebuked by Jesus and calls him Satan. Get behind me, Satan. It was a little tough for him to understand that Jesus did have to die, that he did have, but he didn't even pay attention when Jesus says, "I'll be raised on the third day." He just kind of, all he heard was, "You're going to have to suffer, he's going to have to die." Now, in my mind, Peter's thinking went something like this. Jesus is from God. This is the Messiah, the most wonderful thing that's ever happened. He does wonderful miracles. He speaks like no man has ever spoken before. He talks about the things of God. There is no way it can be God that this should end, that he should suffer, that he should die. He will change the world with his life. No. He will change the world with his death. Peter didn't quite get that lamb thing. Got the Messiah thing, but he didn't get the lamb thing. You see, he wanted to interject his agenda into Christ's agenda. Do we ever do that? Huh? No, Lord, you should do it this way. Makes more sense. How could this possibly be God? We are guilty of doing that same thing. Well, Peter kind of had to learn some of these lessons because he was on the way to being big time. So the Lord was working with him, and it was a harsh rebuke. Get behind me, Satan. But he wanted him to understand that if you're thinking with the flesh, you're thinking with the devil. That you need to be thinking spirit thoughts. Didn't make any logic to Peter, but that's not the point. Following the Spirit isn't always logical. That's tough for Scandinavians. It don't make sense to me. But the Holy Spirit doesn't always make sense. You know, I heard this illustration years ago, and it was about a person who had a vision or a dream or something, and they were standing, and God was making a quilt. And they're standing and watching God make this quilt, and this quilt represented the life of this person that was watching it, and it just looked like kind of a mess. And they were concerned because this quilt was such a mess, and you're thinking, is my life like that? And they're looking at it, just nothing. Then God smiled, and he turned the quilt around, and there was a beautiful design. But from where he sat, he couldn't see. He could see God at work. He could see the things that were going on, but he couldn't see the full picture of what God was doing. So he turned the quilt around, and there was that beautiful design. He was looking at the backside of the quilt. And that's kind of the way it is with our lives. We're looking at the backside of the quilt, and we say to ourselves, what? What are you talking about? Jesus said, I have to suffer, I have to die. Peter's going, not going to happen. Well, Jesus had to set him straight. He said, this is the spiritual world, this is the carnal world, and you need to know the difference. And we do that all the time. Jesus said, called him an offense. An offense in the Greek is interpreted stumbling block. We can be a stepping stone for Christ, the cause of Christ, or we can be a stumbling block. And usually it's when our agenda gets in the way that we become a stumbling block. Peter was in tune with the Holy Spirit when he claimed that Christ was the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and Peter was in tune with the flesh when he tried to prevent Jesus, Galatians chapter 5. You know, it's funny, I read this in youth group the last time I did youth group, and I've done this scripture so many times that they said, one of them said, verse 20. Well, that's pretty close, 15, 16 and 17. Actually, though I was reading them the fruit of the Spirit, I believe. Anyway, Galatians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You ever feel spiritually schizophrenic? Peter kind of was, wasn't he? I think maybe that's the way that we are sometimes. One time we're listening to the Spirit and we're doing good. The next time we're listening to the flesh and we're not doing so good. We listen to the Spirit, we listen to the flesh, and pretty soon we feel like we're all confused. Peter was kind of confused, but you know what? Did Jesus give up on Peter there? Did Jesus say, "Get behind me, Satan, and don't ever come back"? Oh, he said, he did it not because he wanted to punish Peter. He did it because he wanted to teach him. Jesus was still working with him. Don't you hate it when somebody comes in and says, "Look, I got to talk to you. You know, there's a few things that we need to talk to you about. Could be your spouse. Could be your board. Could be the policeman. Whoever." Yeah, I hate that, don't you? But usually, it's for your best interest. If somebody loves you, they're going to talk to you. And Jesus was pretty hard on Peter. "Get behind me, Satan." But it was because he wanted to teach him the difference between walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. Jesus did not walk away from Peter. Jesus pointed out the two worlds, the two world agenda, God and Satan's. When we walk in the Spirit, we follow God's agenda. When we walk in the flesh, we follow Satan's agenda. Remember Matthew 16:17, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." The next minute, Jesus calls him Satan. But it was because he loved him. If Peter, the fisherman, was going to be the rock the church is founded on, he has to know the importance of flesh and spirit walk and the difference, as we all do as well. Well, Peter got through that little thing, and he promptly and miserably failed the next test. But does Jesus give up on him? Luke chapter 22, verse 31, we see another act three, or how many acts it is. Luke 22, starting with verse 31. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat." That doesn't sound very good, does it? You want to be sifted as wheat by Satan? Well, Jesus knew this was coming. And so he told him ahead of time. He says, "Satan has asked for you, wants to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you." Did he say, "I have prayed for you so that you won't be sifted"? No. He says, "I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." And then he says, "And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brother." Jesus just gave him a mission. Now we're starting to see the mission come through. Jesus just gave him a mission. He says, "Your mission is to strengthen your brethren." He says that just before he denies Christ. Sifting begins. Luke chapter 22, verse 54. "Having arrested him, they led him," the speaking of Jesus, "they led him and brought him into the priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. And now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, 'This man was also with him.' But he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I do not know him.' And after a little while, another saw him and said, 'You also are of them.' And Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' And then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Surely this fellow also is with him, for he is a Galilean.' And Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you are saying.' Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. You've seen the movies, you know, where they turn and they give him the look, you know. Eye contact. A lot of message going on there, you know. Now, what was Jesus saying when he looked at him? Was he saying, "You dirty dog, don't ever come back"? No. Jesus was saying, "Keep the faith, Peter. Keep the faith." Peter's going to need that. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. You ever messed up that bad? Peter fails to confess Christ. Now, was that the sifting? Was that mistake that Peter made, was that his sifting? I don't think so. I think the sifting is when Peter realized that he had failed and he began to weep. And now he's being sifted. What is he going to do? Is Peter going to give up? Or is Peter going to get up? He could have done either one. But it kind of looked like here a few verses down the road that Peter was thinking about going back to fishing. That Peter might just give up. But Jesus is his coach in the corner saying, "Peter, get up! Get up, Peter! Don't just lay there. Don't give up. I haven't given up on you." You ever been in that situation in your life? Where you're laying there on the canvas after being knocked down by the devil, and you just don't want to get up again. You just messed up too bad. And then the devil comes to you and says, "Give up. Give it up. You can't do this. The Lord doesn't love you that much. Quit." Well, I'd say Peter messed up just about as bad as anybody could. But Jesus had an agenda for him. He had a mission for him. He needed to strengthen the brethren. He needed to be the rock of the church. So what happens? John chapter 21, verse 1 through 17. This is one of the most touching stories in the Bible as far as I'm concerned. It's all good, but John chapter 21, starting with verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Now, this is after he was resurrected. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the three sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We're going too." I paraphrase that. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Jesus controls the catch. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. You ever tried to walk away from God? Don't answer that. It isn't as easy as you think. You think, "Oh, it's to be so easy just to quit this Christian thing. It's too hard." Well, it's not easy to quit either, because Jesus doesn't let go. Verse 4 again. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because the multitude of fish. You think there were big fish too? Well, let's see what it says. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And now when Simon Peter had heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and he plunged into the sea. Now, you know Peter's a good swimmer when he can put his coat on and swim, okay? So when he was going down, when Jesus reached out and rescued him, it wasn't because he couldn't swim. It was because they were walking on some really rough water. All right. I digress. But the other disciple came in a little boat, for they were not far from land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. And as soon as they had come into the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. This is a resurrected Christ, remember? Who started the fire? Jesus. Who cooked the fish? Jesus. Who brought the bread? You love that. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of, what kind of fish? Large fish. Is God good? 153, and although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus then came, and he took the bread, and he gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples, and after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" I don't know, it seems obvious to me he's pointing to the fish. I don't know. "Do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." What's he doing? He's still working with Peter. He's bringing him to that place. "Feed my lambs" would be being a children's pastor, don't you think? Feeding the spiritually lambs and physically the young children. Feeding meaning preaching. Preaching the word, teaching them. Verse 16, and he said to him again second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." Again, pastoral calling. Now I realize that the love is, you know, a couple of different kinds of love here, but that's not the sermon we're preaching today. He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved. "Well, listen, guy, you denied Christ three times. Let's get it together here." Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Peter gets up. I love that story. Jesus came after him. The sifting was Peter going to quit? Was Peter going to be so discouraged as he has failed that Satan comes? You know, the devil kicks you when you're down. He doesn't fight fair. You can count on it every time. Things come in groups. You just start getting wore down and you think you're going to recover and something else happens. Never fair. That's because he wants to sift you. He wants you to quit on Jesus. He wants you to give up. It's too bad that we just can't get a really good... I mean, each one. Some people have seen heaven. Some people have seen visions of hell. Been there. Done that. Not me. But wouldn't it be nice if we could just see it? If we could just go there, you know, for 5 minutes. And the Lord walk us up to our house and say, this is where you're going to be living. It's just the color you like. Gold. And the yard is just the way you want it. And it would be so much easier here. But the reality of life, the flesh gets wrapped up in this temporal world that we live in. And in order to really serve God, we need to keep reminding ourselves that we need to walk in the Spirit. That means walking through this world a little bit oblivious, excuse me, a little bit oblivious to all of the stuff that goes on around us. a little bit oblivious to the fact that sometimes it's really rotten living here. Things really stink. I could use another word, but it's kind of on the edge. So Peter, even after he became Peter the Rock, and he was the rock that Jesus made him, molded him to be. And by the way, he really took off after they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Things began to really rock. But things weren't perfect then either. All the way until Peter went home, there were trials and there were tribulations in his life. Some people get discouraged because they think that if Jesus loved them, their life would be trouble-free here in this life. Not. That's not the way it is. I mean, we can pray and we can get some relief and we can get some deliverance and we can get some help. But he is shaking us and he is shaping us and staking us to the rock of ages. Sometimes it's a rough process, but it's for our own good. Peter got slapped around a little bit, but look what happened to Peter. He got up. I hope that your new year will be better than the old year. How many think there's a little room for improvement? Just about everybody. Well, I'm going to pray. It's 10 minutes to 12. Lord, this morning we are facing a brand new year. Within this new year, there are going to be new challenges. There's going to be times when we're going to be shaken, times when you're shaping us, all for a purpose, all part of the process, as you mold us more into your image. I pray, Lord, that we would understand and put into action that walking in the Spirit. As your word says that we aren't going to walk in the devil's path if we're walking in your path. They're two separate paths. So I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. You'd help us to know better the voice, your voice, as you speak to us. Help us to know better your guiding and your leading in our lives. And help us to know when things get rough that you're just shaping us. And you have a purpose that is good in all of it. Lord, it would be great if we would be in heaven in 2011. Could very well happen. But for each day that we have, I pray that each one of us would really strive to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. We just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.